Hi, everyone, and welcome to this month's episode, Indigo and Crystal Children, Embracing Their Journey. I know we had a little bit of an issue last month. I did the whole episode to find out that none of it was being heard or recorded or anything. And I found this out when I like to listen to and review the shows when I'm finished in the archives. And I've noticed it was only 9 minutes long and it only recorded the two songs played. So I just really want to apologize for that. I actually had a couple callers calling in and noticed that they were hanging up, probably because they weren't hearing anything. So I just want to apologize for that. It was some sort of something going on the technical end of things. And we all know how complicated technology can be. So I'm really sorry about that. I know a lot of you were probably hoping to hear about Crystal Children, and I'm sure a lot of parents and teachers and guardians were calling in to listen in, because we did cover Crystal Children. Now, the month before that, or the last episode that was actually recorded, was about Indigo Children, just Indigo Children, just to kind of keen in more into details on each one. And the last month was supposed to be just about Crystal Children, but since none of that went through, we're going to do it again this month, so everyone has a chance to hear what, you know, everything I went over. So anyway, again, I apologize for that. So here we are. We're going to go over Crystal Children again, because they are still being born to this day. They are the up-and-coming future leaders. So this is a lot of people that can relate to this, or maybe parents of these children, guardians of these children, and also teachers and so on. Now, with the Crystal Children, they're very much like the Indigos. They're a very highly sensitive generation, just like the Indigos, except they are much, much more blissful, whereas the Indigos have more of a warrior personality and a deep, passionate personality. They are the peacemakers that are going to lead us through that paved path that was created by the Indigos. And I know I say this almost every episode, that the Indigos were the leaders that kind of carved the way and got rid of everything that lacked integrity. And they kind of carved away, as if, you know, taking a machete or a sword and carving it away and getting rid of all, doing like the dirty work, you know. And the Crystal Children are following behind them. They're the peacemakers. Now that everything that lacked integrity is chopped away for the most part, these Crystal Children are now walking through, leading the way, showing us peace. And that is why they were instilled to be so peaceful and blissful. And they almost come off as little wise gurus. They're extremely philosophical, and they really do have that warm, inviting energy. And you'll notice that when you're in the presence of an Indigo child, you'll notice that you feel a warmth inside of you. You feel invited to their soul energy. And that's just something that they naturally give off, because we all have our own energies. And these crystals have this kind of energy that they just exert. They just radiate the warmth and the kindness, and they radiate positive, which makes other people feel good. So they're very contagious in a good way, because they radiate that positivity in a room. And people in the room will feel that, whether they're unaware of the child being the one producing that positive energy, but they are affecting everyone with their great energy. Now, all crystals were born starting in 1995 or later, making the oldest of the generation 20 years old. So they're still 20 years old, still young. They are still working on becoming leaders. They're in that transition into adulthood. So it won't be long before we really start hearing about this generation leading us into the golden age that we have all been yearning for. because the indigos had really gotten us through that shift. A lot of things happened, you know, a lot of negative things happened, but they were there to lead the way through it, and now the crystals are here to lead us to the golden age. A feature that people tend to pick up, the first thing they tend to pick up is their eyes, their large, intriguing eyes. I mean, that's the first thing someone will notice about a crystal child. And when I say the eyes, they have these large, intriguing eyes that when you look at them, you're just in awe and you're left intrigued because they just capture you. There's just something about, and you know how they say that, you know, the eyes are the windows to your soul. And so they really embrace that popular saying. But they really do have such a profound and trusting gaze when you look at them. And I know, for example, at my job where I work, I also work part-time at an assistant living. And I'm an activity coordinator. And the one day I was very, very stressed. And, you know, there was a lot on my plate. We were prepping for a lot of events. And one of the aides actually brought in their little girl while they were working. And I told her, I said, you know, while the residents are at lunch, I said, I'll watch over her. I'll keep her with me in the activity room. And, of course, she loved it. There's toys and puzzles and games and all that. And the first thing I noticed was her eyes. And she goes right over to, I believe we went over to the chess set. And I don't play chess, and I don't really know the names of the pieces. But there's a piece or maybe a couple pieces that has a cross on the top of it. And she just grabbed it, not knowing it was chess. She just started playing with the pieces. And she goes, oh, look, it's Jesus. This is from Jesus. And she starts going off about Jesus and how great he is, just because there's like this little cross on top of the chess piece. And just the way she talked about him was extremely philosophical. She seemed to have another view on things, whereas children wouldn't. So I just thought that was really amazing. And, you know, just being in her presence really left me in awe, and it kind of took away the stress. I seemed to forget everything around me and was just really intrigued by her radiant energy. And it was very healing to me because they tend to have very healing energy when you're around them. Also, another characteristic is that they are very even-tempered, very forgiving. They're not known to hold grudges. And they don't hold grudges. They don't, you know, again, grudge is negative. A grudge is a negative thing. They're very forgiving, and, you know, they might have maybe a little bit less respect, but they always look at the positive of it. They know people make mistakes. They know that nobody is perfect, and they're very understanding. Another characteristic is they are very, very connected to nature and animals. And so you will notice how they appreciate nature around them. You know, when you take them out to near a tree or a field of grass or a beach, they're so intrigued by it. They kind of just seem to take in that extra breath and really look around and be like, wow. You know, they appreciate the nature aspect instead of just looking at a field and saying, let's play baseball. They look at it and think, wow, God created this. They have that elevated outlook on nature. And because of this, you'll notice that many of them might be vegetarians. Because of their love for animals. And so a lot of them you might find will be vegetarians because they think it is so odd that people eat animals. They can't seem to wrap their head around it. And so anyway, there was a story actually that intrigued me, and it was this little boy, and it was a mother who had, and it was in a different language, but they had the captions at the bottom, and this little boy had rice, I believe rice, potatoes, and octopus on there. And the little boy was wondering what this was on his plate, and he refused to eat it. And he asked the mother, he's like, well, is this octopus, is it real? Is it a real octopus? And she said, well, of course it is. And then he really thought deeper into it. Well, where's his arms? Where's his head? Where's his legs? And the mother said, at one point, it had arms and legs, but it was chopped so we're able to eat. It gave its life to us so we can eat. And the little boy had a confused look on his face. It was so cute. He goes, so this is an animal. That means this octopus had to die so we can eat it. And once he kind of processed all this, after asking all these deep questions, he didn't like that. He was very upset, and he said, but I want them to live. I want them to be happy. He said, we should take care of them. We shouldn't eat them. But this is about a five-minute exchange conversation. And in the video, the mother, you can tell she teared up because the little boy says, why are you crying? And the mother goes, I'm just so moved by you. I'm so moved by you. And I was moved as well watching that. I couldn't believe it. So I thought that was really, really interesting, really great. And so that kind of is an example of a crystal child. And of course, he had these big, large, intriguing eyes. So needless to say, he was most likely a vegetarian after this conversation with his mother. They have very much so healing abilities. Like I said before, excuse me. Sorry, I'm getting over a cold, so if I'm coughing, bear with me. Like I said before, that little girl that was with me in the assisted living, she had that healing energy. She healed my stress. She made me feel good. Now, they also can do some physical healing, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. Another thing is that you'll notice that they are quite fearless and quite free-spirited. They love to go on adventures, and they love to constantly do things. And, for example, something you can do with them that they would absolutely love is a hike in nature. I mean, like I said before, they love, love, love nature. Then if you add adventure into nature, like a hike, that is just, they are in their element. It would be so ideal for them. It's an adventure for them, and they are surrounded by the beauty of nature. So all of their spiritual senses are fulfilled. And this is the kind of environment, and these are the kind of activities that are really going to embrace this gift that they have and really going to, really utilize this gift and enhance it, because these are the things that they need to a place where they can expand and grow. Because we all know society can kind of be a dull light on children's imaginations anymore and children's needs for adventure and meaning of life. You know, society's becoming very, very strict, which is not good for the crystal children because it's dulling this. So you want to give them opportunities where they can grow and be themselves. So nature and hiking is a great thing to do, you know, even if it's swimming in a creek, you know, or rafting down a slow creek or sledding in the snow, everything, any activity you can do outside, they absolutely love. And one thing that they do is they speak very telepathically. This is a big characteristic that seems to be a worry to some people, because they mainly speak telepathically. That's how they work. They're very intuitive. And parents of these crystals, of course, have no problem communicating with them and with their own crystal child, because every parent has that communication, that mind-to-mind communication with their own child. So to a parent, it might seem normal, but the moment that child, let's say, steps into the classroom, and let's say the teacher is unaware of these generations of children, they might think right away, uh-oh, is this child autistic? They're not speaking. So this problem really does begin when they're brought to medical professionals or maybe even the classroom to be evaluated, you know, or educational professionals. They might see this and think, well, this child is learning a little more slower than normal. when that's not really the case. The child just chooses not to talk because they think, what's the point? You know, and because they really feel like they're already communicating. And this is leading to crystals being diagnosed as autistic. And this is definitely not the case. This is causing crystals' divine inner light to be dimmed. Once you put medication into the mix, once you put these extremely strict guidelines and really kind of putting like a shell over these children's abilities, it can really weaken that inner light. And that's the last thing we want to do, because they need to expand. They need to grow. They are our future's leaders. So this is, and a lot of, it's hard. A lot of people don't really realize that, and it's not their fault. It's just society can get very caught up. So let's try to pay more attention to these children, you know, and autistic children, God bless them. They're known to be in their own world and very disconnected to people and things. They don't have eye contact. They tend to be more disconnected. As far as communication, not spiritually, but as far as communication, they're more disconnected, whereas crystals are the most connected of anyone walking this planet. They're the most connected. I mean, we're going from different ends of the spectrum. They're getting diagnosed with children who are not communicating the right way or disconnected in a communicative aspect, whereas, you know, crystal children are way up on the other end of the spectrum as the best communicators, just on a different level that a lot of people in this world are used to. So we don't want to do that, because they really are the number one communicators. An example of that, I was reading about a crystal girl, okay? She did not speak any words until the age of 3. And she just pretty much said the basics, you know, like mom, dad, yes, no. And the parents always had a way of knowing what she wanted anyway. So the parents were okay with it. They were okay with her not communicating verbally, because they just got it. They get it. And then all of a sudden, one day, she just started speaking in full sentences throughout this whole process. And it's unfortunate, because, you know, she was given all these tests, but she passed very highly, and she tested very highly in social and cognitive tests. So that right there says that she's fully there. It's just the way crystals work. It's just how they are. They say that maybe this generation does this because verbal communication is foreign to them, since they are so highly sensitive and telepathic that they might not even really feel the need to verbally communicate. To them, it's foreign, because this is what they're used to. But no worries if you do have a crystal child and you're worried that they're not communicating the right way, and you know for a fact that they're not autistic or anything like that, then that's okay. Be patient with them. Embrace it. The last thing you want to do is scold them for it or anything. You want to make sure you get them through and let them know that you fully support. So if you're a parent or a guardian that is concerned about this, just don't make them feel that it's wrong. I know it can be very hard to deal with, you know, especially when you're around other moms and, you know, other moms are like, wow, her child doesn't talk. And, you know, some parents might feel embarrassment. They might think, oh, wow, well, this woman might think I'm a bad mom. But don't worry. They will excel tremendously when they choose to. So anyway, some of your own schooling can help. So if you want to kind of help them, if you feel like there's got to be a way I can help, I'm not saying, you know, have them homeschooled, but try to teach them at home and teach that way too. So this way they're getting this education in the classroom, and they're getting it from someone who, you know, understands, so to speak, their way of communicating. So it might come easier, and they might perhaps maybe talk sooner if that's done. But I know it's challenging as parents or any kind of guardian to have this child, but you have to remember they are selected specifically by crystal children themselves. If you are the parent or a guardian of one of these children, you were selected by them before they went onto this earth plane. So That is a beautiful thing, that they had chosen you to be their parent. They had chosen you to be their grandparent, their guardian. And they do this so that they can be raised in a spiritually nurturing environment. It's so important that they're raised in an environment around spiritual people that can help them grow versus people who might dull that and not know much about the spirituality of these children. This also goes for grandparents as well. You know, let's say the parents aren't as spiritual, odds are the grandparents are going to be, because these children will not choose any kind of guardian or parent if they could not be nurtured in the correct environment for them to really grow. So they have to choose these special telepathic guardians to ensure that all needs are met. And so that's why, look at it as a blessing. They chose you. That's a beautiful thing. It's a spiritual contract that you have with them. So that's a blessing. A lot of parents sometimes, you know, can't say that about their own child. So that's great. Also, something that stands out about them, and this is something that's also very intriguing, along with their eyes. This is something else that other people happen to notice. Probably the second thing someone might notice is how philosophical they are. And, you know, many times they learn about God, they learn about, you know, the different angels and stories in the Bible and all the different kinds of prayer and all that from, you know, let's say their parents, or from maybe they go to Catholic school or a private school or a Bible, you know, Bible study, whatever. But often they possess their own self-gained knowledge. So, of course, you know, children who are raised in a spiritual family are aware of prayer and God and morals. But these children not only know those things, but again, they have that self-gained knowledge themselves. They are like the little wise gurus, I say, because, you know, we can really learn a lot from them as adults. These children have this natural knowledge of a deeper meaning of life. And so, again, like they're like little philosophers, so we can really learn a lot from them because, well, we can learn a lot from any child. But these children really possess a quality that a lot of us adults may not understand. They have a better outlook on life. And it's definitely very obvious that they're very in tune with the divine. They have like that closer circuit connection with the divine, and so because of that, they have this knowledge within them. And they can also bring this knowledge in from other lives as well. So whether you believe in the reincarnation, they say that these children can carry on these gifts and this knowledge from previous lifetimes, which is why people say old soul. I don't like to say old soul because there's really no old soul. I like to say a wise soul. Maybe a soul that has existed a little bit longer. That's why people say, oh, they are an old soul. They just seem to know. They understand. It's like talking to an adult. You know, this is an example of how these children are. And I have a video here, and I'm going to play it for you. It's this little boy, and I was so captured by this. I shared this on my Beams of Love page. He's 8 years old. And I was so intrigued. It's only a 3-minute video, but I'm going to play the audio for all of you. And all of this came from the little boy himself. You can tell because the way he speaks and the way he says it, that this is his own self-gained knowledge. So I'm going to play it for you right now.
On the patio in the back, if the ant doesn't know that there's more than the patio, he just keeps walking. He doesn't know he's just part of a huge of lots of worlds, and the human race is sort of like that. After they discovered what's up there, they know they're only a little part of the huge galaxy. I think there probably are many different kinds of life forms, cells and organisms. Some may not be visible, you will do, except for you. You have a control of yourself. You may not be lucky enough, and the odds may be against you, but
so you
never a definite no that you cannot do. It may be predestined, but you can change that.
Well, that's tricky. But it's good to know.
I mean, I might be wrong. It might be just schedule, like from play or something, and you act it not knowing that you're part of it. But all the same, maybe destiny is just telling you. Maybe you just know it, and that's what destiny is. Destiny is a guess of what you know. What it knows about you and what it knows you would do when you're... But then again, I might be wrong, and destiny could be totally in control of you.
So yes, that was the video of the little girl, or the little 8-year-old boy, and when I was done watching that, I actually had a few tears in my eyes. I was such in awe by the words that were coming out of his mouth, you know, talking about being predestined and, you know, our future in life is what you make it and no one can tell you otherwise. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, did I just receive the deepest life lesson from an 8-year-old? And this is exactly what I was trying to explain, is that they spark that wow into people when they speak. They make everyone quiet in the room because it just, I mean, right now I don't even know what to say because I'm so speechless with how this 8-year-old boy was talking and what I, as an adult and as an intuitive myself, learned from him. And when watching this, just really gave me hope for our future, that these children right now are walking this earth and they are spreading words like that around. And that is what our world needs right now more than ever. So that video right there is just like a prime example of the lessons that we will learn from a crystal child. And just think that, you know, this boy's 8. He's 8 and he was talking like that. And can you imagine when his age doubles, another 8 years, he'll be only 16, another 8 years. He'll be 24. I mean, he has somebody, you would think by the time he reaches complete adulthood, the person and the leader this boy is going to become. So it just, it brings me so much hope. And right now, the oldest age of our crystal children are 20 years old. So we're getting there. We're getting there. And this boy was only 8. So again, it just gives me that hope and reassurance that we will be taken care of, that God had sent these children to save us, just with their leadership and this blessing and that they had, the Lord has instilled in them. So just the spiritual topics, they are just such that they talk about and being such on an elevated level. It's so capturing that we find ourselves learning about the most important things in life from people who are a fraction of our age. And I really think as adults, that's really what we need because, you know, we tend to lose focus a lot of times. All of us do. We're human. And we tend to lose focus. And these children are going to kind of pull us back on path because we're going to end up having a conversation with one of them one day. And they're really going to make us realize, wow, and give you that whole new outlook and spark that passion inside of you to want to live the way this generation of children is saying to live. And hopefully soon it just spreads and spreads and spreads amongst all these people and all the negative, because we all know right now we could use it. We sure can use it. So be prepared for this wonderful revolution of generations of these special intuitive children. But yes, so I just wanted to share that with you because it really changed me as well. But it is so good to know that they are futures leaders, and they're really pointing the way to humanity's possibilities and leading us, you know, to a more connected way of thinking. Because what's happening is we're becoming so disconnected. And when I say disconnected is, you know, we're not meditating, or we're worried about, I want these shoes. So-and-so has these shoes, but I want these shoes, and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, focusing on material things, and it's really disconnecting us to really what's, you know, what means the most in life. So anyway, you know, like last week, for example, I was fearing for a while how disconnected our world is, but working with and studying these children has really started to remind me that everything will be okay, and that they are going to usher us into a new era of consciousness. So I'll let you kind of take that in and let that sit with you and let the words of that boy sit with you. And then I'm just going to go on a break and play a song for you, and I will return shortly. Okay, welcome back. And again, I just want to apologize for last month, the technology and all of that being very challenging, and not being able to connect, and doing the whole show to come to find out that no one is able to hear. So here we are, we're doing it again, Crystal Children, going over everything. Before break, we went over all of the characteristics of these children. We went over what their capabilities are, how philosophical they are. We went over how they are late communicators because of their telepathic communication. And we also talked about how hard and challenging it can be as a parent, as far as this communication may go. Other people might think, oh, this child's not talking and show concern. But you know that this child is special. But as humans, you know, parents, you can be embarrassed. Why isn't my child talking? But it is the biggest blessing because they know that they are connecting. So anyway, we are going to go over, we just talked about how spiritual these children are and how their energy and advice can be so healing to us mentally. Not only can they be emotionally healing and mentally healing, they radiate a sense of calm that spreads to all in the presence. And they really know how to direct God's energy through their hands. So not only are they mentally healing, but they're also physically healing. For example, I was reading about a seven-month-year-old girl, 7 months, and the mother was sick in bed, nothing contagious, but she was ill. And the husband brought the seven-month-old into the bedroom, and the daughter just sat up on the bed, just staring at the mother. And she then laid hands on the mother's stomach, just kind of leaned forward and put out her arms and put her hands on the mother's stomach. And then all of a sudden snapped into it, you know, being a normal baby. And this was, you know, a big thing. The parents watched all of this happen and they were very intrigued because, you know, when you see a seven-month-year-old be so focused, when normally they're very distracted and taking in everything around them, looking around, This 7-month-year-old baby just seemed to really tune into some kind of connection of the divine. They're very, very physically healing. And then the mother felt a sense of calm after that. Also, you might find, let's say, there's a mother who's stressed. The daughter might come over and place their hands on their mother's shoulders. Let's say the mother's doing bills at the table and the little girl will come over and put her hands on the mother's shoulders and the mother just feels a sense of calm and it calms her down. So there's a lot of different types of healing that these children bring to people. And, you know, as parents and as grandparents and guardians, this is a big responsibility to help nurture these children in the right environment. I just want to take a moment. If anybody has any questions, please, you may hit the number 1, and I'll be more than happy to key you in and answer any questions on what you may want to ask. Okay, so I have a question here. Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling in.
Good. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, do you have any recommended reads for parents of these special children or adults?
I do. Well, first of all, there's a woman that did a lot of studying on these, or a male, I'm sorry, that did a lot of studying on these indigo and crystal children, and that's Lee Carroll. She did Lee Carroll. It's L-E-E, I believe, C-A-R-R-O-L, but you'll be able to find her if you look her up or him up. And also, Doreen Virtue has a book out about crystal children. And she a lot of stories from parents are in this book. So if you're a parent, she did a lot of case studies. So some parents might be able to relate to these stories from actual parents themselves.
Okay, thank you. And are there groups for parents? Of these children, because many of them are classified as special needs. Are there, you know, groups where these parents can go outside of a school setting as far as the teaching aspect, you know, just to help support one another?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I plan to start some circles or some get-togethers for parents to come together and share their stories and things that they've experienced as parents of crystals and indigos, because this will be a group for indigo and crystal children. So this will be a great opportunity for the parents to come together. And I'm located in Easton, Pennsylvania. And for the new year, 2016, I'm going to be starting a group/seminar for these parents to come together and then to eventually bring their children with them. So then also these children can meet each other and experience each other's energies, because it's always nice for these children to relate to another child, because a lot of times these children can feel not left out or an outcast, but they have a harder time relating to other children because they are such at an elevated spiritual level. So it's important that they also get to meet other children like them. So that starts in 2016. If you are interested and you are in the area, you can look up Beams of Love on meetup.com. Also, you can contact me on my website at www.beamsoflove. And what's also great is that they're starting to build schools now for the main focus of these children focusing on the important things in life and not just 2+2, but life skills. And they're starting to become a big popular, and there's not many, but they're starting to be worked on, and it's a big thing now, is having classes on life skills as well. So look into that as well, because there are actual schools that are going to be doing that.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, because there's no place for parents to go or children to go. So the thought of having them all come together and be able to share similar stories, because there's no real support out there for parents or for the children, you know, and they're not considered, I don't like to use the word, but they're not considered normal in the school system. They're singled out, and it would be wonderful to be able to go to somebody like you and, you know, even if it's a monthly place where we can go and just join together with the children, you know, just to support and encourage one another, because it really becomes difficult. I have a lot of friends who have children that are crystal, and they're different. They're very smart, but they're different, and they just can't seem to relate to other children. They seem to be able to relate with each other. I've watched them when they're together, and some of these children don't speak, but they don't need to speak. It just seems to be a common thread that they have, and they recognize this ability in each other, and they seem happier when they're together. So I think it's really important that, you know, I think this is wonderful what you're doing, and I think it's going to be a real asset in your area. And where, again, are you located, and what's the name of your meetup?
Sure. I'm located in Easton, Pennsylvania, E-A-S-T-O-N, Pennsylvania. I'm actually right by New Jersey. It's Beams of Love, beam as in a beam of light, Beams of Love. And you can find me on Meetup and also www.beamsoflove.com, where you can contact me through there personally if you'd like. You can also contact me through Meetup as well. And Meetup is actually where I'm going to be posting these get-togethers for these children. And it's so true, like you said, it's so important that these children are around each other and are able to experience someone that's like them, because they have a harder time relating with, like you said, quote-unquote, normal children. So
yes.
I really hope that this brings, you know, not only awareness to parents, but helps these children make friends and friendships and bonds that these people never had maybe before. So I really hope this brings a lot of people together, not just for the seminar, but outside of it as well, and that they can now make friends out of it.
Yeah, a lot of these kids I know, and when they're in the school systems, a lot of them are drugged up. You know, they put them on different medications, which really doesn't help them in any way. And I'm really hoping that more things like this will start, so that these kids aren't so singled out and don't feel different than the rest. Because right now they are singled out. You know, they are singled out. And I don't think the medications are good for a lot of these kids, because, you know, a lot of these kids are intuitives, you know, and I think that dulls every area. It dulls the intuitive part of the child, and it numbs the thinking part, and it's so important that they not be drugged up. And a lot of the schools recommend this. You know, they have these kids go to the psychologists of the school or and then they refer them to psychiatrists, and then they say, well, let's try this medication and that medication. It just seems to dull their senses. And these are really special individuals. I've done a lot of reading on kids like this, and, you know, I believe, like you do, that this is the generation that could change the world for the better. I understand that they're highly intelligent, individuals, and I'd really like to see them get the help they need, but the parents need the help as well. And that's why it's so important, you know, that you have this show, because it helps parents not feel singled out, like they're all alone. And I'm sure there's many, many in your area and many other areas that could, you know, start groups like this. Do you have any idea when your group will be starting up, when the parents and the children can come together?
Well, for the month of December, I've been actually looking into finding a day. I'm going over kind of my schedule with work and everything, and I plan to do them monthly. It's going to be a group that's once a month, and I do want to start them in January. I don't have a date, but this is something that I am very much working on. So I want to make this available to as many people as I can, and aware that there is somewhere for them to go and really discuss and go over things that they might be able to relate with each other for the parents and for the children. And it's so true when you say, you know, about the medication. You know, we went over that before, but it's really dulling their inner light. And, you know, so it's so important that we are aware of these children. And I really also want to make this aware overall to people out there, to society itself. Because if you're a parent, you're already aware of it. If you're a crystal child, you're already aware of it. But this really needs to... Awareness needs to be spread to not only parents, but all of society, to lower these diagnoses of autism and all those things, and so to stop them from being medicated.
Absolutely, and there's so many different degrees. Like with Asperger's, there's so many different levels that the child can be. You know, some with Asperger's don't communicate at all. Some communicate a little. Some communicate too much. You know, there's all different categories, and people need to understand. But they're so quick to label them in the school and give them, you know, classify them, and very often that's not the best way to handle, you know, kids like this. And I really think it would be wonderful if they had, you know, special schools where these children could go, and special teachers that have a better understanding, that maybe are intuitives themselves, that could help these children more, because they're certainly, you know, a lot of them just get pushed through from grade to grade. They just get pushed through. And because they're not fully understanding themselves of how their minds work and the higher intelligence that these individuals have, they're not learning what they could be learning if they were dealing with the right teacher who had the right education as far as their own needs. So it's really, you know, it's sad, and I'm sure 10 years, 20 years from now it will be different, because there's so many, you know, children, and I understand from the shift in, you know, when 2012 the shift made a difference, but it seems like everybody I talk to knows somebody or has somebody in their family that is classified as an indigo or a crystal. I mean, I guess you would be known as an indigo because you're a medium yourself, which puts you in a different bracket. And, you know, so I imagine your own life, you know, growing up was probably a little different because you're different yourself.
Right.
You know, so I just think that there's a real need out there. So I'm really grateful to you that you're doing.
Oh, of course. You know, I've always been very drawn to children, and I think this is something that really needs to be heard to everybody. And I think people need to be aware that these children are walking this earth, and that we can learn a tremendous amount of just aspects of life from these children. We can learn so much from these children.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering my questions, and thank you so much for doing.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. So, you know, as parents and as grandparents and as a guardian or a teacher, you have a sacred mission to guide these souls. Because like I said before, they chose you. They chose you before they came onto this earth to be their guardian so they can be spiritually nurtured to be the people and leaders that they were meant to be. And it's very hard to balance. And this is when it, you know, tends to be challenging as a parent, because you have to balance a high spiritual frequency with the amazing gifts that they possess, and at the same time, you have to guide them into earthly life. So to keep that balance can be challenging as a parent. But believe me when I say they would not have chosen you if you could not do it. You are special as well for being given these children, and it's not an easy task, but like I said, they wouldn't have chosen you. So this is your spiritual contract. It is such a blessing, and there are challenges that come with it, but a lot of the things that parents have said, I spoke with a couple parents, things that they said had helped them and their child, and I have a list here of things that they said had helped, and one of them was teaching them breathing. And when I say that, it's kind of like a meditation where teach them breathing and releasing negative so that when they inhale through their nose, they're inhaling positive divine energy from God. And when they're exhaling all negative. Teach them these breathing techniques. That's a way that's going to help them because they have a lot of energy. Also, use angels to not only your advantage, but to teach them to call on them and God when they're upset. So teach them about the angels and that when they're upset, that angels are here to help God and that there's nothing wrong with talking to the angels to help, because they certainly can see these angels, because you'll notice that these children, you'll see them staring into space. You don't want to break that because they're seeing something, they're connecting, and a lot of the times they're seeing angels. So they communicate with the angels a lot. Another thing is when you're telling them to do something, explain why it needs to be done. You don't want to force them and tell them they need to do it just because. You want to give a reason behind it. Well, and it could be something very simple. Can you do this because it makes your mother very happy? It could be as simple as that. As long as they have a reason and they respect you as a parent, or a grandparent. So even something as simple as that, they love a reason. Again, these are just tips that I wanted to give towards the end of the episode that might help you with your Christmas child. Also, another tip is maybe maintain nature in your home. Keep them connected to nature. Keep plants in there. Give them like a little chore. Have a plant and give them the responsibility to take care of it. Or even perhaps a pet, you know, because of their connection with animals. And these crystal children, they love music. They have a connection with music. Perhaps play music that they like. And also, if you can, provide a space for them that has very limited electronics, because the energy can be very distracting. So even if it's a quiet space and you have a puzzle or a coloring book, let them. You know, really not be around all the technology. You don't want to just put them an iPad, you know, to keep them entertained. They really need to express creativity and not be around all the technology. So those are also some of the things, some of the tips that I've gotten from other parents and from myself as well, just by studying and being around these children. So anyway, I'm so glad you were all able to listen and that we were able to go over crystal children. I have so much hope for our future because just like the video that I played before, we have very young philosophers walking the earth, and I'm very excited to see what their future has in store for us. and these leaders. So again, thank you for tuning in. This show airs every first Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Anyway, beams of love, I will talk to you next time. You can contact me on my website, www.beamsoflove.com. And again, I will keep you all posted on the get-together with these with the Crystal and Indigo children and their parents or guardians. If you want to stay posted on that, go to meetup.com and go to Beams of Love or my website, and there you can keep in touch and see when we will be hosting these get-togethers for everyone to get together. Again, thank you for tuning in and have a wonderful day. Love and light.